Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me in our visual radio studio to talk a bit about an event coming to the Four Corners Regional Airport, Airport Manager Mike Lewis is here. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Scott.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is pretty exciting, this event you have coming up at the end of the month, right?
Absolutely, especially for someone like myself that's really interested in aviation. I mean, to have a World War II airplane come to Farmington and be available for everyone in the community to visit and even take a ride on if they would like to.
That's what's coming. And so this is all part of a week-long event at the Four Corners Regional Airport, right?
That's correct. It'll kick off on the 23rd, next Monday, with the arrival of the B-17 Sentimental Journey. It's from the Commemorative Air Force in Arizona. They're on their victory tour across the country, stopping in communities to give people the access to see this living, working museum.
Right. It's coming here.
That's right, coming here. And the event will last through the week, being topped off on Saturday the 28th with a fly-in, drive-in, dine-in event that we're having at the airport. It's a pancake breakfast from 8 to noon, and we'll have the B-17 will be there. I have an Osprey, that big vertical takeoff aircraft that people see flying around making all the noise in Farmington. It'll be there and on the ground so that people can inspect it up close. We'll have some military helicopters. We've got some local aircraft owners that'll be displaying their aircraft. We'll have a flight instructor. We'll have the radio control aircraft group there, and the FAA giving some information out to pilots and those that are interested in aviation, so it'll be quite an interesting event.
Nice. And this is on that Saturday,
where you're
getting all these extra vehicles and aircraft
on the
tarmac, as they say.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting to get all these folks in one spot.
Absolutely.
For this event. And I know it's the Rotary Club that's helping with this as well.
San Juan Rotary. They're putting on this event, the fly-in, drive-in, dine-in event.
Right.
And they'll have pancakes there for folks, and there'll be all kinds of things for people to see and do.
Very good. I know they're charging admission, and that's a fundraiser for their charities
and what they do
in the community.
That's right. Basically, it's $10. That includes your pancake breakfast and access to all of the things to see on the field that day.
Very good. But prior to that, the airport will have this other event going on the rest of the week, right?
That's all right. The B-17 will arrive on Monday the 23rd, as I mentioned, and it will be at the airport terminal throughout the week for people to come up and do what they call a static tour, come up and tour through the aircraft and get some information about it from the people that are there, take pictures, do whatever they'd like. And then on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which would be the 27th, 28th, and 29th, it will be available for people to purchase rides.
Nice. To actually fly in this historic aircraft, right?
Absolutely.
And talk to me a little bit about this aircraft. We have a clip for our viewers who are watching us this morning, Mike Lewis, to show them kind of what we're talking about. But this is the B-17.
That's correct.
Flying Fortress.
That's right.
Right? And it was described and really instrumental in World War II.
That's right. It really saw
a lot of work.
Absolutely. They built 13,000 of these aircraft.
Oh, my gosh. That's
to
amazing.
Fly in World War. Unbelievable.
Yeah. But they lost a whole bunch of them, too.
They lost 8,000 of them.
Holy smokes.
And a lot of people don't realize the crews that flew these over Europe. They lost more flight crews flying in these airplanes than they did Marine Corps troops in the entire Second World War. This particular airplane was built in 1944, delivered to the Army Air Corps in 1945, a little bit late to enter the European part of the war. So it served the remainder of the war in the Pacific Theater. At the end of the war, it was assigned as a photo reconnaissance aircraft. They also used it to fly drones from. They'd have another airplane that they would fly remotely from that airplane.
Hmm.
And then it was sold to a company in Chino, California that used it as a fire bomber for 18 years. So it fought forest fires by dropping the retardant on the fires.
Right, right.
And at the end of its career there, they donated it to the Arizona wing of the Commemorative Air Force. And they took about 2.5-3 years to completely restore it as it was when it was originally built.
Okay.
And to offer it to the public as a living, breathing, flying museum piece.
There you go. And we're seeing it right now as it takes off,
right.
Flying through probably northern Arizona, I'm going
Absolutely.
To guess is what we're
yeah,
seeing on
I
the video
so.
Right now. But it is quite the machine. And so it looks about like it looked World War II era with
That's
that
correct.
Shiny skin and stainless
right.
steel and
right.
all
and
that, right?
They tried to accurately portray the paint as it was then.
Right. And so this is quite a large aircraft, is it not? And
That's
I think
right.
a lot of folks maybe find it fascinating that it can land okay at the Four Corners Regional
oh, yeah.
Airport.
Yeah, well, it was designed in a time when airfields weren't as big as they are today. So,
right.
We're far in excess capable of handling airplanes like this. It's got about 109-foot wingspan.
Okay.
It's about 75 feet long. With four engines, it's got plenty of power to... You know, to take off and maneuver.
I would imagine that's part of it. They wanted to make sure they could get up in the air quickly
right.
if they needed to, right?
Well, yeah. And the other thing is that in wartime, it was carrying a crew of 10,
right.
as well as a massive bomb load and a fuel load in order to fly long range into Europe.
Sure.
In its present form, it's flying around with just an adequate fuel load. You know, they don't fly necessarily with 10 crew, and they don't have a bomb load.
Right. That's not coming. So a lot lighter is what you're
That's
probably
correct.
Saying,
That's
right?
Correct.
So it doesn't take as much to get it off the ground
That's
as
right.
it would have when it was fully loaded
That's right.
in wartime. But
right.
really amazing to see. And so folks will be seeing this as it flies in on Monday.
That's correct.
And then over the weekend as it does the tours
That's
and
right.
things, correct?
That's right. If you're if you're outside around the airport, you'll see it on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as it's taking people for tours from 8 to 1.
Okay.
So we won't be rattling your windows all day long with that airplane, just in the morning.
Right, but you can't miss it. It has a remarkable and
very
unmistakable
unique,
image in the sky.
Yeah, and very unique sound. It has large radial engines, piston engines,
okay.
Unlike a modern airliner, which usually has a jet or a turboprop engine. So it's unusual to see modern airplanes with engines that big that sound like that. So it'll be unique.
Right. Piece of history for sure.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing, I think, is, again, to be able to see it up close and tour it, walk through it, I think, on the static tour. Correct?
That's right.
You can
sure
do
can.
That and see
sure
the size
can,
of it.
They charge a small fee. People have to understand the whole purpose of the traveling tour is to continue to raise funding to keep this thing in the air.
Right.
It cost
for the maintenance
over,
and everything
that's
else,
That's
right?
right. It cost over $1,000 an hour to fly this airplane. So
wow.
It really, the people who were involved in it, the flight crew members, the ground personnel, are all volunteers. They all belong to the Arizona wing of the Commemorative Air Force, and they volunteer their time just so that they can present this museum piece to the public.
Okay. And if we want tickets, we can go online and reserve a tour or reserve tickets?
Yeah, that's
for this
correct.
Plane?
That's correct. We can go to www.flyinglegendstour.com.
Okay.
You can purchase the tickets. That's all handled by the Arizona Commemorative Air Force.
And even get, reserve a flight, too, if
that's,
you want.
That's
Those
what
are
you,
a bit pricey,
that's what
right?
you would, that's what you would go to the website for, is to reserve the flight.
Okay.
If someone would like to take the tour, all they have to do is go to the airport, go to the terminal, we'll have signage, go through the terminal, and volunteers will be there to accept payment for the tour through the aircraft.
Okay.
You're more than happy. We're more than happy to have you come up if you just want to come out and take pictures and not go through the aircraft.
That's, you still do that
course,
as well.
Of course, free of charge.
Okay. Good to know. But very exciting. And that is coming up. And this is kind of, I think this event, too, is designed to show off the airport a little bit, too, because...
That's right.
I know unless I'm a private pilot, I don't get to go up to the airport
That's
as
right.
often as I would like to, perhaps.
That's
right?
right. A lot of people don't get to come up, and they don't really see what's going on, or if they have come up, they've gone on a commercial flight and not really seen much of the airport. This gets them the opportunity to get out onto the airfield and look around. We'll have some helicopter tours there, so they'll be able to see helicopters fly, watch the B-17 fly, and whatever other air traffic is up there at the time, they'll be able to be out on the ramp and see it.
Right. And so I imagine... because it's a working airport, so obviously you do have some restrictions of where people can go and what people can see and all those types of things, yeah. But it is a chance to see more than maybe you can normally see as a passenger, right?
Absolutely. We'll let you walk right out on the ramp. You'll be much, much closer to the runway and the taxiways than you would normally be able to get. Of course, we'll have the area fenced off and control where everybody goes, but mm-hmm. you'll still get a great view up and down the flight line and really get a view for, you know, what the airport looks like from rather than just looking out the window of an airliner.
Right, right. And I do want to ask you, too, while you're here, I know you're working very hard, the city's been working very hard at improvements to the airport, and the ultimate goal, at least as I understand it, is to bring commercial air service back to the Farmington Four Corners Regional Airport, and that's still the goal, correct?
Absolutely, that's the goal, and we're actually see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Are we? Okay.
We're on the last project that we need to complete. The regulations created a few years ago require that airports have certain safety areas on the ends of the runways and distances between the taxiways and the runways in order to accommodate regional jets. We have been speaking to SkyWest Airlines, the largest regional jet operator in the world, about coming to Farmington, and they're very interested. However, we needed to complete some construction in order to accommodate those regulations.
Because they couldn't make it economically feasible until they could fly certain sizes of planes. Is that kind of the idea?
Well, that's part of it. The other part is the smallest airplane they have is a 50-passenger regional jet.
Okay.
And we had to be able to accommodate that.
So your runway has to meet that requirement for that size of an aircraft.
Reference code, that's correct.
And you're close to getting that done.
That's right. We received the grant offer about 3 weeks ago, signed by the mayor. Tomorrow we're having a pre-construction meeting, and the 30th of September we're kicking off the construction.
Okay.
That'll take us through December. We're going to have to do a little bit of touch-up construction in the early spring, like the end of April or May. The mayor and city manager and I are going to visit with SkyWest the middle of October to talk to them about our community. We'll also have our air service development consultant with us. He will present a deep dive marketing analysis for Farmington, and they've already started that process, and so far it looks fantastic. We have a really good product to sell to the airline to entice them to begin service here.
I think the mayor's always been very optimistic whenever I've talked to him about the possibilities for commercial air service returning.
That's
so
right.
Good luck.
Yep.
With that meeting, but
absolutely. I think it's just going to be, you know, more or less a finalization of the numbers that they thought were there.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume they would intend on starting service probably sometime late next spring, early summer, and now that we've done all the hard work of getting an airline to serve the community, we'll be from that point on asking the community to use the airline. That's what will keep the airline here. It needs to be used. Don't drive to Albuquerque. Don't drive to Durango. Get on your hometown airline
right. And
keep it here.
Well, and there are a lot of advantages, I think, that the Farmington Airport has over those other two that you mentioned.
You're right.
One is I don't know any other airport in the world that has free parking.
Right.
And you still have free parking
right.
at the airport,
parking.
Right? And they're not going to change that, are you?
We're not changing
okay.
that.
Okay. But I think that's a big sales pitch for folks who are going out of town for a week or 10 days to be able to park your car. And
we have less disturbance with the weather. Than
that's
Durango
true.
Does. The,
oh, sure.
the weather in Durango, just even as close as it is just a little bit different, and
right. Sometimes
they get weather delays, weather cancellations. We have two runways where they have one, so sometimes the wind will be adverse to their runway, and they have difficulty operating in and out of there.
And when that happens here, you can just shift to
that's
the other
right.
runway. If
that's
that
right.
Happens.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, I know everyone's excited for this to happen, I think, and I think we know how much of an economic driver an airport is to a community, having commercial flights in and out. I mean,
absolutely.
The freight is one thing, and it's great, and having private pilots, being able to use it is another thing, but I think those commercial flights really does open up a lot of other doors.
Absolutely it does. Right.
Folks.
It puts Farmington on the map. When somebody looks, you know, if you look at the reality of today, everybody pretty much makes their own flight arrangements. You don't call
That's
a travel
true.
Agent. You don't
I
call
know.
The airline. You get online, and people punch in Farmington, New Mexico, and nothing comes back except Durango.
Right.
Or Albuquerque. And now they'll be able to punch it in, and Farmington will come back, and they'll go, wow, they have an airport, and we can go right directly into town.
Exactly, that's true. And I think competition, too, is always good.
That's right.
In air service,
absolutely.
Right? And this would add another player to that competition. Because
yes.
Right now, you're right. I don't want to leave out Cortez. No offense, Cortez. I know you have an airport
right.
and commercial service, but that's about it. And so
right.
by bringing another player into the game, that may also help keep fares competitive.
It absolutely will. The fares in Durango have consistently risen because of no competition. That is one of the things that has attracted SkyWest to this market. They see a great opportunity to offer a lower fare and pick up a lot of that traffic. The amount of traffic that's flying out of Durango now is greater than the amount of traffic that ever flew out of Farmington and Durango combined in the past. So the market is huge, and we'll be able to tap into that whole entire market and make this work.
Very exciting. And I'll ask you to look at your crystal ball. Can you predict, Mike Lewis, when this might be happening? A year from now that we might be talking about the service coming back?
It should happen late spring, early summer.
Oh, okay.
At the latest next fall.
Of 2020?
That's correct.
Okay.
2020.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to it here real quick.
So we'll have you back, obviously.
Absolutely.
To talk about this when everything, the ink dries and
right.
agreements get signed and all that. But I know SkyWest has certainly indicated an interest. Are
yes.
there perhaps some other carriers that may be looking too?
There are some other carriers that have expressed a slight interest. We haven't directly worked with them yet. SkyWest has given us such a positive feedback that we've continued to work with them. They're a large company. They have a lot of assets and they're really dependable, and they would absolutely be our first choice. And so we've sort of kind of headed down the road with them here for a while to make sure that would happen. That would be our greatest dream, that if it was them to serve our market because of their reliability.
Gotcha.
And their equipment and so forth.
Sure. And I assume destinations like Phoenix and Denver would be
that's
a
correct.
No-brainer out of the gate,
right.
so to speak.
Well, that would be a start. There's been quite a bit of traffic out of the Four Corners area to Texas even. So
Okay. While
that won't be a starting destination,
mm-hmm.
That's something that definitely SkyWest is looking at down the road. There's quite a market into the Dallas or Houston area. We're still pretty heavily involved in energy up here, as everyone knows, in the Four Corners.
I imagine there'd be a lot of traffic from Houston. That's true.
That's correct, and it's a very, very good flight to have up here.
That's true. Very true. And so, again, we're getting close to that maybe happening, and you've got some meetings coming up with mm-hmm. mayor and city manager, so we wish you good luck with that. And so with all that going on, again, the airport is ready to go. I mean, the terminal is there, and
mm-hmm.
the gates are there, and TSA can come back and
right.
And get things ready for
right.
for passenger service whenever
that right.
fits, right?
Well, and I may have forgotten to mention also, in addition to getting the money to configure the airport, we also received an $850,000 grant that's called a Small Community Air Service Development Grant.
Okay.
That money can be used for marketing and promotion. We can even guarantee seat purchases on the airline. It's specifically designed to launch air carrier service into a community such as Farmington. So we're really happy that we were able to get that awarded to us, and we will definitely be using that to try to get this launched to really get it starting out very quickly.
Sure. And are these FAA grants or are these other entity
it is
grants?
It is an FAA grant.
Okay.
There's a special department, Small Community Air Service Development program that has been in place for about 20 years. The money has been allotted to many small airports. Gunnison's gotten some money. Various other airports in the region have received money over the years to help either start service or augment the service that they already have. So
interesting.
We're really happy that the FAA sees Farmington as a vital part of the air system enough to be able to give us that money to try to put this air service back on the map.
Right. And I know we are lucky to have the control tower that we have here
right.
at the Four Corners Regional Airport, because
that's
that right. provides another level of safety and observation, obviously, for weather conditions and things like that, as pilots are coming in.
It absolutely does. It also creates a preference for like cross country flights. They like to stop where there's a tower, especially military.
Mm-hmm.
They much prefer having a tower where they can be in a controlled environment. It's much safer for them. Some of those aircraft are at higher speeds than normal. And they just don't want to come across a private pilot out there that's not using the radio and not following the procedures like they do in some of these airports that don't have towers.
Right. No kidding. Interesting. And I do know that there are some plans for some weather radar in the Four Corners area coming in the next year or so, or more in Colorado, but it would still affect and help forecasts here.
Yes, it would. A lot of people don't realize if an airplane takes off from Farmington and flies up The air traffic control system doesn't see them on radar until they get to about 7,000 feet above sea level. So they're 2,000 feet above the ground is where the radar reaches us. That's why also when people look at maps, weather maps.
Just weather forecasts, right?
Well, when they look at weather maps that show clouds, you know, radar.
Yeah.
You don't see anything.
It's always sunny.
It looks like it's always sunny.
Because, never rains here.
Because the radar is looking over the top of the clouds.
Right.
So with this new radar, it'll give them a better perspective for that, and as well as air traffic.
And that'll be made available to everybody, your airport, everyone else, everything.
Right.
The weather, TV, weather guys, everybody.
Right, absolutely.
Can look at some of that stuff. So that's exciting as well. Mm-hmm. Well, before we run out of time, let me talk about this event again, in case folks are just joining us and didn't hear what's coming up. Next week, we've got Sentimental Journey landing at the Four Corners Regional Airport and will be available for tours all week long.
That's correct. During the week, from Monday through Thursday, we'll have static tours at the airport terminal. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can buy a ticket to fly on the airplane. Just go to www.flyinglegendstour.com.
Okay.
Buy your tickets and show up and take the ride.
And these tours are pretty cool. These flights are pretty cool,
absolutely,
as I understand it, because there are there's a couple of seats, I think, that have a pretty awesome view, if I'm not mistaken,
sure,
right?
Yeah, in this aircraft. If you look at pictures of a B-17, the nose is pretty much plexiglass, so you can be sitting out there and see a complete view of all around you, you know, while you're flying.
Right.
That week will culminate with the fly-in, drive-in, dine-in event we're having on Saturday, the 28th, from 8 to noon. Come and have a pancake breakfast and look at all the static displays and the aircraft that we'll have available for people to see. Helicopter rides.
Okay.
Ride on a B-17 that day.
So this aircraft will be there to see, and also you've got an Osprey coming in.
We've got an Osprey, the big tilt rotor aircraft that flies around Farmington from time to time, making all the noise. We've actually got a Huey helicopter, which is, if you ever look at any kind of film of Vietnam and see a helicopter, 90% chance it's a Huey. So,
okay, those are those big kind of transport type helicopters,
right,
weren't they?
Right, big loud ones that come in where they drop the troops, and a lot of them were used as medevac and so forth.
Okay.
And it's amazing with a helicopter that was designed in the early 60s, flew in Vietnam, is still in the active Air Force inventory. This would be an Air Force Huey helicopter that'll be up here.
Very cool. Well, again, that is happening, and again, it's all next week for part of this, and then the big event on Saturday, a week from tomorrow, that folks can go up and check it out, and they'll have aircraft and other
cars,
flying
and all kinds of things.
Drones, maybe.
Yep,
I heard.
Radio control airplanes, drones. That's right.
I heard that maybe even though they can't fly them at the airport, they could fly them in the hangar.
That's right.
That's
the small electric airplanes.
That's
we'll
what
have
they've
in the hangar.
Been able to come up with. So.
And I also invite everybody 11 a.m. on Monday, the 23rd, come up and watch the B-17 arrive.
Okay.
It'll fly into town for the first time. It'll spin up around in front of the terminal, and you're more than welcome to take pictures. And we'll have an area for people to get out on the ramp there, area to be able to take a look at that airplane.
Very cool. Well, and again, it is a piece of history, really, living piece of history. Not quite living, but it really does seem to be living when you see it flying around.
It sure is.
And it will be here as part of this coast-to-coast tour that it's going on.
Right.
And folks can look at it from the outside, tour the inside, and maybe take a ride if they would
like
to. So
we even contacted a couple of World War II vets that are going to come up and meet the airplane when it comes in. And so it'll be very interesting to see their reaction. Every time I've ever seen that before, it really is a very, very moving scene to see, imagine the thoughts that are going through these old-timers' minds, thinking back on the days when they were actually in those airplanes.
Definitely. That's very true. And and again, for all of it that it represents.
That's right.
The liberation, the Americans are here, and all the other things that we can come up with, right?
That's right.
During
Absolutely.
Those battles. So, wonderful. Well, Mike Lewis, you're here with a lot of exciting news about the Four Corners Regional Airport, so thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll look forward to the event next week.
Good. Good to see you there.
We will see you there on the tarmac. You bet. Mike Lewis, my guest from the Four Corners Regional Airport, everybody, here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.